Hey everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And it's time for
Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Unspun.
Baseball.
So some good news of the park board, kind of the park board. You know, you and I in the park board. But Nat Bailey just announced $20 million, which were kind of required, but $20 million upgrade to the Nat Bailey Stadium. For those of you who aren't in Vancouver and have never been to the Nat Bailey Stadium, Jody, tell us the experience because you are the sportsy person. I'm not, but I know
it is magical. You don't even have to like baseball to enjoy a night at the Nat or a day game at a nooner at the Nat. Oh, I used to love to go for a nooner at the Nat because what a great excuse to go drink beer and eat hot dogs at noon, and a beautiful location and the perfect little hub of green in the downtown core. You could zip there and back to wherever you needed to be business-wise. If you wanted to go back, probably wouldn't. But it was affordable and family-friendly and fun and really solid baseball. I mean, it has been through some tumultuous ups and downs, but predominantly, I mean, just because I can nerd out as a sports person, Sammy Sosa played at Nat Bailey. Sammy Sosa was a Canadian, a baseball Canadian. He wasn't a Canadian citizen. He wasn't a Canadian by passport. But I mean, so that level of baseball, the AAA, AA, Single A, you know, all of those, you know, if you're not into those geeky things, doesn't matter. It's baseball and it's baseball at a high level and it's fun. And you can get a meter long hot dog there. Too much hot dog.
I don't think it's for one person, Jody. Did you try?
No, but my son has accomplished that feat.
Oh.
But it's not oppressively expensive like some of the other venues that you go to. So it's very family friendly. It's, you know, up until recently, it's been fairly easy to get a ticket. It's tougher to get a ticket now because so many people have discovered it. But one of the things that I know from, it was 1999, 2000. It was just before I left to go to Toronto for my 1 year that turned into almost 10. They were looking at refurbishing Nat Bailey Stadium, and there was all this controversy about it because if they wanted to add seats, they had to add a ridiculous amount of parking, and it wasn't zoned for the parking, and it was and there was all these reasons why it couldn't, and it was in a pretty serious state of disrepair then. Upgrades were done, but not the full refurbish that it needed, and now we're hearing that there's a significant influx of funds coming its way.
Yeah. Parking's an interesting question. I hope it doesn't add tons of parking. The SkyTrain or Canada Line station is only about a 10 minute walk, right? From there.
Which wasn't there.
Yeah.
Back then. I hope that if we can build, you know, huge rental communities without parking attached to everything, we can certainly build Nat Bailey Stadium with a few extra seats for families to sit in without there being a car attached to every seat. Anyway.
It's a great space. And I've actually been there for private functions too, which is super fun. And
that is fun.
You know, so it's, and I play a bit. I don't watch sports, but I do participate in sports. And so
you do?
Yeah. Yeah. I used to be very sporty when I was a young fella.
I'm kidding. Of course you do. I was only being a smart ass. I was just being a little bit of a brat. Okay. So what are they doing at Nat Bailey Stadium?
I don't have that. Just came in. Just in.
Well, let's just jump straight to park board because this week.
Yes.
While I was on the air on CKNW on Monday, in comes the City of Vancouver press release, a gleeful series of quotes from Mayor Ken Sim alerting everybody to the fact that the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh are all unified on dismantling park board.
Where did we hear that before, Jody?
I believe that you predicted that, George.
I mean, you know, I think I said sources and my internal sources at City Hall were very clear that there was a lot of support for this because of the speeding of the process, you know, one less bureaucratic government to deal with. I think that's the main issue when they've got a significant amount of developments happening very close in and around parks to be able to deal with just one government, I'm sure will be much easier, especially the dysfunctional park board. But you know, you can't keep fighting the fight. I think, you know, this is politics. we've talked about this. We get a lot of heat, you and I, because we seem to be the only people just speaking in support of this movement. However, we've also been very clear that this is a political nightmare that Ken Sim has created for himself.
Yeah.
And we've said that too. So, you know, kudos on, you know, trying to find a solution to fix Park Board. I get the hate, but also, you know, it's Ken Sim's problem now and probably might be, as we've said, his undoing. So we shall see.
I'm going to say a couple things to that. And the name of this podcast is Unspun. The whole reason we're telling you what we think and not what we think you want us to say is because we are about not being part of the spin machine. And when we are listening to people who are borderline militant about saving Park Board because it is such a gloried and fantastic, unbelievable, important democratic institution, those same people not that long ago were like, this is broken because everything was coming to pieces and crumbling and, you know, I question that it isn't all politics when somebody wants to argue that it's about democracy, because it's just not, because it's still democracy. It's at City Hall. It's on the same ballot. And the people that will be guiding Park Board internally, if the Vancouver Charter change requested by the municipality is approved by the province. Did I say that all right? Because the province has to approve this. And I don't know that David Eby is in a big hurry to make a decision.
The First Nations thing definitely gives them a good boost.
And, but that's where I'm going. Yeah. So up until this point, it was like, but if the people who are, you know, slamming their fists down at how, you know, we have to be respectful of the Park Board of Truth and Reconciliation, First Nations. How do you argue? How do you clap back at the Musqueams, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh all being unified on the side of removing a layer of bureaucracy that is not attached? Because it's all, that was all part of Park Board in the last couple of years. They were coming out their other lanes instead of mowing the lawns, instead of taking care of the pools, instead of taking care of the, you know, the trees in Stanley Park. They were starting to do things like, we have an issue with homelessness. We got to be about truth and reconciliation. We got to be about, okay, now is your opportunity to say, you know what, truth and reconciliation, fine. If this is what the nations and the Musqueam band want, great.
Give the people what they want.
I mean,
we know the majority of
Vancouverites
don't even know what we're talking about generally, is the Park Board? And all they just want is nice parks. And the First Nations in Vancouver want to get stuff built, which is their focus right now in developing more potentially homes to live in than anybody else is developing in the city. So are we not working against that if we push against it? And so anyways, it puts those people who are,
I would
really
say, yes, hardcore, I would say that's a very accurate statement that you just said right there. I think it's important. It's not difficult to listen to this. I do think that the mayor and council who were on board with dismantling Park Board did ask that question before going public. That's the spin, right? The spin is that they didn't already know that. Okay, now put out your press release. Okay, cool. You know, so I also will say, when we're talking about the people that made change while being Park Board commissioners, because some of the people who are pushing back, we've mentioned them before, that are friends of ours that are really upset with us not being on their side to save it as a unique government arm, were people who did help when it was like, are you kidding me, City Hall? I need an actual permit the size of the Celebration of Life to get a hot dog at Carnarvon Park concession stand. So I'm not saying the city's perfect either, but hopefully there's some common sense that flows here. I did have Rebecca Bly, who's a Vancouver City Councillor, who is on the transition team. I had her on radio on fairly short notice on Monday on this subject. And I tabled the fear that people had that, oh my gosh, it's all about development. Ken Sim's going to like rip out places that are green and put in business towers and whatever. And she, you know, if anything, there's more protections being put in and more scrutiny being put on because of this. And that there, that she stated on air, which kind of surprised me. She's like, you know, all the way to full on referendums on any change to any park land use right. in the city of Vancouver. So
current parkland, because one of the things that the city, as we've talked about, is there's all this other land that is just sitting there waiting to be parkizized. Is that a word? You know, parkivized. To make it more parky. And they're not. Like I talked about the Canby Boulevard. Why is that not being engaged into a, some kind of parky-like thing? Like, why are we not putting things that people might be able to use there, like those that terrible tennis smashing game, whatever it's called?
Pickleball
on the parts where there are people living. What about dog parks? A perfect place along the Canby Boulevard. Land that's just sitting there. There's tons of space for you to go walk your dog and all those. Like, this is perfect for this kind of stuff. And the city, I believe, is resisting doing any of this because every time they try to do something that appears like a park, then the park board goes, hey, that's our job. And then you go, but you're not doing it.
Nothing gets done. It's ridiculous.
Anyway,
let's go to another bit of ridiculousness that is within Vancouver city limits. Dana Larson's mushroom dispensaries that had their business license pulled because mushroom dispensaries are illegal, now had the business licenses reinstated. What's happening there?
The Green Party had the vote on the committee and pushed it through. And so then the mayor came out saying this is bad. Obviously the police aren't happy. And interestingly, the NDP came out today, Mike Farmworth, saying this is bad. We shouldn't be allowing this. Let's take a little step back in time when I was on council and we had this whole push with the cannabis distilleries.
Right. Oh my gosh. They were everywhere.
And hundreds of them, 180 of them, I think it was at the peak. I was unsupportive of this because for us as a city to have a process to permit these, because it was illegal activity. You could sit there and let them do their thing and try to open these up and push back at the government, but to actually create a process as a government that goes against the actual laws of our country seems contrary to a respectable, legitimate government. And so my argument was at that time, and people were really like, oh, you're so conservative. I'm like, no, it's our role. Our job is to uphold the laws of our country, of our province, of our cities, and to create policy that is contrary to the actual laws of our country is not responsible government. I'm sorry if you think it's, and of course we know what happened in the end. They became legal and there was a process. But to do that as a government is contrary to what is logical. And it wasn't like this was an issue. People say, oh, well, Vancouver really laid the groundwork for this. I'm like, I think it was coming anyways. And maybe it helped.
Well, maybe
let
me be mushy middle girl. And I certainly didn't love all the illegal pot shops popping up, because I think of the 180 or whatever there were, 175 of them were within spitting distance of my house and my small child. You know, it was like, you know, so it did freak me out a little bit. But I've smoked pot. I have friends who are chronic pot smokers and they're good people. But at the same time, laws of the land, and they just got their frosted windows taken off, by the way, cannabis, right? The business. So sometimes, like you said, it was coming anyway. Could we go any slower? Right? I mean, do something to legislate that, because you know this is already here. And the argument that some are making, like Dana Larson, and boy, he'll fight with you five times a week and twice on Sunday.
And that's fine. That's fine. And he can do his thing.
I'm just saying, he will argue that these things are available on the street. The ones that are being sold in his dispensary do not have fentanyl. That's a thing. Do I want my 16-year-old tripping on mushrooms? I would prefer not. But he can also go out in the yard in the springtime, certain grasses, and pick them. Like,
it's a question. And the fentanyl thing absolutely is a bigger issue than it was back in the day with when the original process regarding cannabis, because fentanyl wasn't an issue as far, it was starting, but it hadn't really, then it was more of a political push by Vision Vancouver, and you know, to really show, hey, we're so cool in Vancouver. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, but now, but
can't
the
have a
actual
lemonade stand.
issue of fentanyl in I don't, sorry, Dana, I don't know if I could trust you. I don't know. I mean, you're a dispensary that, you know, of this illegal substance. I don't know where you're getting it. By having a legal system, at least we know, like we do with alcohol, and now we know with, if I'm going to buy cannabis products, I want to go to the legal places, because I'm going to hope and assume that they have, they're vigilant in making sure this hasn't got fentanyl in it. I don't think Dana Larson can guarantee that in a way that, I'm sorry, government, sadly, can and should. And so upholding our laws is a government's job. And I don't understand how people don't understand that, how they, things change, of course, and we evolve. Right. But how you do that and how radicals push forward that agenda is how society moves forward and changes. So on both ends of the spectrum, sadly, as we see what's happening in the States, sometimes the wrong way on the on an issue. But I just think that this is very risky. And, you know, if somebody said to you, hey, you could buy this wine at an illegal wine store, but there's a 1-in-4 chance you might die from it, would you buy that wine?
No.
No, you're not going
but
to.
But I bought wine in Spain at the market. There was no 1-in-4 chance I would die, but it was like no label, made in a basement. It was delicious.
But imagine if there was a substance that was killing you in wine.
I get what you're saying. I was, again, being a little bit of a brat.
You wouldn't take that risk. You wouldn't take that risk. Why are you people willing to take that risk with mushrooms? I don't get it.
No, but you can, again, you can buy them online.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think that the want to delay the process in the name of the law is also flawed. I think that both of it, I think at the root, I think the Vancouver City Council approving business licenses for illegal substances is not the right step to go. I don't know how that is justified.
Yeah. You can also, by the way, based on my personal history in Langley, is you can just go to the power lines and pick your mushrooms yourself.
That's what I said. Yeah. I said that about the kids. They can just go to anywhere that has rolled out turf.
As long as you know, the type.
Everybody had the, remember the jeans?
Some amazing brownies when I was in high school.
You'd have jeans that were soaked for like from your ankles to just under your knees. That was proof that you had been out picking mushrooms.
Your flares.
Yeah. Your wide whale.
Yeah. Your wide. Don't let me see my shoe.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So another really serious, we got a couple of really serious topics to get to here. I want to talk about Selena Robinson. Mm. Full disclosure. I know Selena on a personal level because she has been criminally harassed online prior to making her statements that landed her in a white hot spotlight. As a Jewish woman, she made some comments about Israel being, what did she say, a crappy piece of land with nothing on it, I think was the term that she used, that really blew up. And then she apologized for it. I'm going to give like the super layperson's timeline here. She apologized for it. David Eby came out and said that he supported her over the weekend. That changed. She was asked for her resignation, or she was told, apparently, allegedly, by many people. She has not spoken to me about this, by the way, so I don't have any insight to that. I'm just full disclosure that I know her. So the human behind this, I'm watching, and it's quite something to be seen. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, Selena Robinson decided to defect. No, is that the right term? She's sitting as an independent. She's left.
Yeah, she bailed from the party. It's a big deal.
Bailed from the party. Yeah, with a very
long and
letter. What do you think of the letter? That, because we haven't talked about that
yet.
So take us through
the whole thing. I mean, the letter is quite long, and it's available, you know, online. It just lays out her feeling that there was just no support from the caucus and within the NDP. And this is, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I think, and it's a touchy issue. And you and I were talking about this, and I wanted to listen back to what I said before I made it live, because I lived in Israel. We talked about that. The Palestinian issue is very, very, you know, I was out there picking tomatoes. There were Palestinians with me picking tomatoes in the fields. And I was very, it was very clear the animosity and the danger and all those things that were there when I lived there a long time ago, but that hasn't changed. And then of course we happened in October, and And now you have this war going on, and I mean, it's just so complicated. And what is the role of a provincial government in British Columbia, Canada, when it comes to this issue that's happening way over there in another country, and it's politically focused on a couple of, you know, it's like, okay, where are we? And of course, there you see it happening in the States, which is more clear, the whole Palestinian versus the Jewish community. It's like, oh my God, this is like a nightmare. But when it comes down to it, I think EB came out today, and when we talk about Unspun, he came out today saying he feels bad that he's created an atmosphere basically of that this could happen, that this is, and he's taking this as a lesson, but it's happened. And it is, if you've ever worked and been a part of a party and been behind the scenes, when things start to fall apart, and we talk about this a lot, parties, you know, destroy themselves. They don't, isn't the electorate come last when they decide who's going to win an election. So when things start to fall apart, like we're seeing right now with a significant senior minister, she was a finance minister, for God's sakes. This is a person that was a good minister, a very nice leader, person, easy to get along with.
An incredibly good person.
We're seeing this. Yeah. So there's the whole issue, which you and I, we can't.
I'm no expert on it. I can't. I don't like any of it.
For politics and for this as a meaningfulness in an election year, this is very, very bad. And the polling that I've already seen there is 60% of people who want change. 60% of BCers want to change in government in Victoria. But guess what? They can't get it because we have two parties on the right fighting it out and splitting the vote. And
they're equally as mad at both of those parties. It's kind of like the federal polling that we saw today, not to switch gears too hard here, mm-hmm. but there's really not a lot more that you and I can say on the subject of
bad
what's going on.
Let's
there,
just
because
say that for sure. It's bad for the
that?
NDP. It's bad for the NDP. That's for sure.
Right. No, I'm just speaking to the whole, mm-hmm. you know, the issues around why it's so hot. I mean, neither of us are scholars on this. And like you said, we're a long way away. You have more knowledge on this simply because you spent time in Israel and saw it firsthand. How many years ago?
88, I was there. Yeah. 87.
Okay. Yeah. The federal polling that I think it was Ipsos put out today. It might not be Ipsos, but it was a big poll that said, like, 31% of Canadians think that they said who would make the best prime minister. And 31% said Pierre Poilievre, 17% said Justin Trudeau, 13% said Jagmeet Singh, and 28% said none of the above. 28% of Canadians polled were like, none of y'all. Like, that to me was like, wow.
Leadership vacuum.
Right?
Yeah, same in the States, right?
And
Trump,
that's why the NDP. Right.
Yeah, there's 20% undecided in America for now that Trump is the guy and Biden's the guy. They're the two dudes that are running for president now, but no surprise. The unsupport, the lack of support for them is 20% for both. Like, I don't think I've ever seen this kind of in Canada and US where there's so many people going, eh.
It's so stressful, George. It's so stressful. It's so stressful to me to think that 78 million people voted for Donald Trump. And that many might again, after all that we've watched in real time. It's not even like it was rumors of stuff.
He's
right?
pulled so far ahead of Biden. Far ahead of him right now.
And these two, almost 78-year-old and an 81-year-old are the only two people that the United States can come up with to run for president. Are you serious right now? That's crazy. And that's not ageist. I'm not saying that you can't be brilliant in your 80s. No, but that is like a very high stress position, if not the most stressful position on the planet. And I mean, Joe Biden's got some smarts to him. I would not suggest for a second that Donald Trump knows what needs to be done in office, honestly.
If either of those guys live past the next 4 years, I'd be shocked.
Right? It's crazy. Do you think that if Trump gets in, this is a really weird question, but do you think if he gets in that's the last election you'll see in the United States, like everybody's talking about?
Certainly he'll remove the term limits, if not the length. Absolutely. That
he has the power to just do that. The president can just do that. Well, like Joe Biden can right now say, you know what? I'm calling off the election.
He controls the Supreme Court now. Clearly, we know that. So he can do whatever he wants. And so once he gets in power, and if he gets Congress and Senate potentially, then they can do absolutely. They will do that. That'll be the first thing they do.
Wow.
You know,
civil war is what's next.
Well, I don't know. I mean, are Democrats up for that? I think if the Democrats win, you might see civil war. If the Republicans then win, you got Trump and Trump family, Trump juniors, Trump this for the rest of our lives. You won't see the end of the Trump era. It'll be a dictatorship. That's my opinion. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. I think that's the basic feeling, is if Trump gets in, his plan will be to create a legacy of the Trump family. He's already, you know, his daughter has kind of disappeared, interestingly, and she would be the heir apparent, I would say. She's the one that's gotten the least trouble. And so likely the one that he will put as his person to follow him. I wouldn't be surprised.
His vice president?
I wouldn't be surprised if he makes him her vice presidential candidate. He says he knows who it is. Why not? I mean, it's crazy.
Constitution that it can't be a relative?
I don't know. Maybe. But he certainly can have
it. It sounds like we're watching a Hollywood movie. Speaking of which, the Oscars are this weekend. Do you love the Oscars?
I do, but I'm going to miss them because I'm traveling.
Oh.
And that's like, I'll be in the UK. So I'll leave Saturday. And we're going to, so just FYI, we'll be off for the next couple of weeks.
Right.
So I'll be traveling, spring break. So I do love them. I do. I love award shows. They make me laugh. They make me cry.
So have you watched all the movies?
No.
So you should download a couple for your flights.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, grab a pencil.
Okay.
You want to do the holdovers.
I saw it last week.
Okay. So good. Have you watched Past Lives?
No, I've seen one that the man who fell out the window one. That was a good one.
Right. The Past Lives.
DiCaprio one. I haven't seen that one.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah, I've not seen that one.
You haven't seen that one? That's Apple TV Plus. You should watch that one for sure. It's Martin Scorsese, right? But it's three hours and 45 minutes long. It's beautiful. True story of the Osage people. It's kind of like Dances with Wolves circa 2024, done by Martin Scorsese. It's really a beautiful film. But Past Lives, you need to write that one down because it's not anywhere on a marquee because it's not a Hollywood movie per se.
What's it about?
So it's a film. It's a Canadian-Korean film. Uh-huh. So filmed in Toronto. Celine Song is the director and filmmaker, executive producer, and largely done by women, Korean women for that matter, with Greta Lee, who plays the executive producer on The Morning Show, if you've ever watched The Morning Show with Jennifer Aniston.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And she's brilliant, and it's beautifully shot, and it's remarkably written. It's my favorite movie of the year. I'm like going into the Oscars thinking there might be a massive upset here.
Oh,
it's
Barbie. I know how you feel about Barbie.
I love Barbie. I've watched Barbie three times, but you got to watch Barbie on the big screen or you're missing out on what Barbie. You watch it on the small screen. What?
Is it worthy to be an Oscar contender?
Well, it's not nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, okay.
No, they called that a snub, but Greta Gerwig's like, no. It's interesting for Barbie fans that the only acting... No, that's not true, because America Ferrera is nominated as well. But that Ken is nominated, but Barbie wasn't. That's what it was. Is that Margot Robbie didn't get nominated, but Ryan Gosling did. And that is pretty much the plot line of Barbie. In a nutshell, but it's so well done and the sets are so cool. When you see it on a big screen, it's really fascinating. It's cool.
I did enjoy it. Yeah. So we have a lot of notes which you brought up measles.
I did. Oh, I talked to Dr. Henry this week. I think it's really important to have this quickly. Yes. If you were born, you know, before 1973.
Yes.
You've probably both been exposed to the measles and vaccinated for them, which gives you 99% protection.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm good.
So you're good. Anybody who has had two of the doses, the measles, mumps, rubella, like my son has had both doses of the MMR vaccine. He had them when he was 18 months and 5 years old. Done. Doesn't need to worry about it. Doesn't need a booster. If you only had one shot, no matter how old you are, over the if you were born after 1973 and you've only had one shot, you should go get another one.
Because we thought measles was gone.
It was gone.
Yeah.
So it was gone.
Because of anti-vaxxers? Is that why it's back?
Actually, measles started to, yes. And short answer, yes, but not because of COVID. Because the measles outbreaks were starting to happen before COVID hit, because there's always been the anti-vaxxers, the Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's running for president in the United States still.
Maybe they'll get measles.
He was at the forefront. Well, see, he's old enough.
Oh, he's old. He's
been
old.
Vaccinated and been exposed to it. No, he's a conspiracy theorist. Yeah. But that's how I met Peter Hotez, Professor Hotez, who has now created a COVID vaccine called Corbivax and given up the patent for it so it can be millions and millions of doses can be made and shipped worldwide. This man has literally given up the farm, right? Yeah. But I met him back in 2016, I think, when we started to see measles outbreaks in the Fraser Valley and in Washington State. There were these rural communities that were largely religious, a lot of homeschooling going along, going on, and people just starting to be like, yeah, I don't believe in science anymore. And that's because of that, we're seeing the measles crop up, and it can kill your kids. It's a very, very transmissible, like hangs in the air for hours after you leave a room.
And my kids in their 20s, they should get checked. My youngest is
If they don't have two doses of vaccine, it's very likely you had them vaccinated. It would be on their medical records that they were vaccinated as kids.
All right.
So that's the good news. Is this the reason why measles was all but completely eradicated from the planet is because the vaccine is that effective. So two doses at any moment in your life makes you 99%, you know, and fully able to fight off. Like if you happen to get sick, you wouldn't get profoundly sick, but it will kill children. It's terrifying. So be careful where you're going. Florida, there's a massive outbreak in Florida. All over the EU, there's a bunch of spots that are flaring up because it is so trans. And we've seen the first case here in BC after it was largely a problem in Ontario and Quebec, but as we saw with COVID, and you're infectious 4 days before you see symptoms and days after your symptoms go away. And it's terrible.
That's a lot of exposure you could create.
13 times more than COVID.
Wow. That's crazy.
So, yeah. They were like one or two other people would get COVID. 13 more will get it from every single one. 13 others will likely be infected on average. Jeez. Yeah. Dr. Henry scared the bejesus out of me with that, but she was on it, you know? And there are people like, why aren't people talking about this? And I'm like, people are talking about it. You've just tuned out. You're not getting it from your favorite podcast, unless this is your favorite podcast, Unspun Podcast, where we talk about the things. George, we're going to follow you on your journeys on Twitter at George
_
Affleck. George _ Affleck. I'm at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y. Please feel free to yell at us be nice to us, like and subscribe in the comments below and share with your friends, unspunpodcast.com. Say goodbye, Jake.
Bye.